Okay, we'll begin the meeting with a motion requested to accept our minutes from the meetings February 2nd, our monthly meeting, February 4th, our department head meeting, February 17th, our public hearing on Local Law 1, and on February 17th, the town board committee meeting. I entertain a motion from Mr. Antonelli. Second?
Second.
From Mr. McAuliffe. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is carried. Department reports. Actually, we are going to, the one issue we had, we are going to table until we get an opportunity to get some additional input, so I'm going to skip over that. And let's see. We have a letter from the planning board, and I see that Mr. Izzo is present, but on February 24th, the meeting of the Town of Catskill Planning Board, Mr. Fetterman made a motion to recommend to the Catskill Town Board to issue a three-month moratorium on all solar panel installations in all zoning districts in the town, with one exception, single-family homes with a roof-mounted solar system. This moratorium will allow the Planning Board to formulate draft zoning regulations for solar use, given the increased interest in using solar power in the town. Our current zoning regulations do not adequately speak to solar power and the appropriate use in the town of Catskill. So this was passed by the Planning Board and is presented to us. Anything else you'd like to add, Mr. Izzo?
No, Mr. Supervisor.
Okay. All right.
It pretty much speaks for itself.
It does. It does. And anybody on the board have any observations or comments?
I'll make a motion that we enact a moratorium for the next 3 months on any type of solar panels besides roof-mounted single-family home.
Okay. Anyone else? Second?
Second.
Second for Mr. Antonelli. All in favor?
Aye.
I'm not sure if that has to be done by local law.
I don't know if it does either, actually. It's kind of passing a negative. What do you think, Michael?
I don't know if you need local law on that.
Yeah.
A local law with regard to the moratorium? No.
I think, yeah. All right.
Well, first of all, the planning board has made its recommendation. It's a town board decision, and the town has spoken.
Okay, so we're good, and we will withdraw any half of a resolution. Right, so the resolution is withdrawn.
No, he said we need a resolution.
No, I think...
Oh, you think we do need a resolution?
Yeah.
No, I was suggesting that the planning board does not have the decision-making...
Got it. So we do. Okay.
And we just passed it.
And we just passed it. So we're good to go. All right. Moving on. We have a communication from the Greene County Board of Elections regarding polling sites for upcoming elections and an agreement, which we agreed to, I believe, in terms of where the polling sites will be held.
At the Senior Center.
At the Senior Center. Okay. Let me steal your correspondence. Tuesday, March 15th. And then the presidential primary on April 19th, the federal primary on June 28th, the primary election on September 13th, and the general election on November 8th. So we will sign the agreement.
The village election on March 15th is held at the firehouse.
Only at the firehouse. So the senior center will not be involved in the village election. Okay? And this requires my signature, does not require a resolution. Next. Copy of the letter regarding the Pilgrim Pipeline. This was the letter that the town sent to Mr. Basil Segos, acting commissioner of the New York State Department of Environmental Conservation, and this is in regards to the Pilgrim Pipeline transportation. So there has been a response from the Pilgrim Pipeline New York Inc., which is calling into question the ability of the towns, and it was all of the towns up and down the valley, whether or not the objections that were stated had legal standing. So that will continue along its path, and we'll keep the residents and the board apprised as appropriate. We had an inspection of the Catskill Sewer District, number 4, which is Cementon, I believe. Mm-hmm. And there were several recommendations. We passed. Annual inspection was passed. Well operated. Overall satisfactory rating was assigned. There were some things that were discussed during the inspection. Flow meter is due for calibration. There were some issues on the grounds that they just wanted to post up, which we will notify Mr. Myers. And then, Sean, there may be some things for the highway department to potentially undertake. We will send this correspondence to you if we didn't already.
Yes, I already got it.
Okay, great. Excellent. And then the permit will expire on September 30th, 2016. We will receive a notice and a renewal application from the department, and we'll return the application. All of you have had more experience with this than I have. Is there anything else we should follow up on? The contact is Mr. Myers.
Yes.
We good to go? Okay. The town supervisors in the valley, just before you go up the mountain, I think it's everybody, meet on the last Friday of each month. I have started to attend those meetings. At this meeting, there was a presentation by an energy organization called Good Energy, and they are responding or reacting to the PSC, which issued an order in the state of New York adopting what they are called community choice aggregation, which is the opportunity to offer to the residents a group buying initiative by the town. This is available in several other states. There was a presentation. There is the opportunity for savings. There is probably the opportunity to also identify some of the cons to this program. They are interested in perhaps coming and presenting to the board, and we could assess whether there's any savings here in terms of energy. Would we agree to that if we invite them? Maybe at our workshop session mid-month?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So clerk would make a note. We'll reach out to Good Energy.
Was Solar City supposed to come and do it?
Solar City is going to come, but they need a read on the three-phase power lines, and they want to get some pricing in order before they come to us and talk to us about that. But yes, they will be coming, which begs the question, how many times can you save on the same electricity? Mm-hmm. So it'll be an interesting question to ask both parties as to what and if there is any interaction between their perspective, you know, from both their perspectives, they can save us money. The question is, can they be done collaboratively, or are they in either or choice, et cetera? So a lot more things to be asked about both. Let's see, Good Energy. Our dog control inspection. We received a report on the 23rd. Agriculture and Markets Law and Regulations we have passed with satisfactory comments listed on the report. Please notify this office within 30 days of any changing in DCO services. We do not anticipate any, and we thank Mr. Klaus for allowing us to get a...
Didn't he want to... raise the fees?
He does want to raise the fees. He wants to meet with us and provide us that rationale. So we'll get to him and then pass a resolution. It makes sense because now that the Humane Society, or not, what is it? Humane Society? Yeah. Have raised their recapture fees, so we should be looking at it.
Yeah. Can we send him a message to maybe come to our Thursday?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Department?
Yep. Yes, and Thursdays happens to be his day off, so that would work out really well. Ms. Bianconi, you are on the agenda as continuing business, and I know we have several items that are fairly important tonight.
Hello, everyone.
Hello.
How are you? Good to see you. So, do you prefer to order that we talk about these?
No, we'll let you lead.
Probably the most exciting one is, as we had discussed the last time we were here 2 weeks ago, we are ready to go out to bid on the collection system. Hi. So I'm just passing out a schedule. This is an update. We had previously provided a schedule that was a little more generic. It had months and weeks, but not days. This one, because we've now arrived at bidding, has dates in it. That some of which they can be fairly firm. Some may end up being target dates. But just essentially, you may recall that the project has two components, the pump stations, which are already out to bid, already been processed, and that one's moving along, contractor selected. Second part of this is the collection system. So it's all the pipes that bring the water to the pump stations that bring the water to the village. Those plans are ready. There have been several sets circulated here through the town, but we will have a final set of all of the pieces and parts, the specifications and the bid documents for distribution to the town and the printer this Friday. So we would intend to advertise for bids the following Thursday, which is March 10th, and conduct a pre-bid meeting on March 22nd. And that's pretty typical. We'll make it mandatory that all of the contractors who want to submit bids will come to a pre-bid meeting, which usually is convened initially here at Town Hall, and it may involve a field visit to go show folks what they're looking at. We do usually make those mandatory. We don't want anyone to be able to say, well, I just didn't know that that's what was going on. And we take notes and things there. We've targeted a bid opening for April 7th. That's 4 weeks after the advertisement for bids on March 10th. We would then, someone would be here from our firm and assist Liz with the bid opening. And that date obviously could be changed if it's a bad date for the town or whatever. We just did 4 weeks, 30 days. But we would collect all of the bid documents, bring them back to our office, verify that everything was submitted as appropriate and required by specifications, and then get you a recommendation to award together with all the documentation for this contract. Probably we're targeting April 11th. That would give you a little bit of time to review, have questions, with a resolution to award at your second April meeting. Notice the contractors typically the next day. They then have to get bonds and insurance together, and this is where it gets a little, it could go past April 29th, depending on how quickly they can get bonds and insurance together. But contracts are executed thereafter, just like we just did for the pump stations. As soon as all the material is together, notice to proceed, and then construction will commence. So we're on the same schedule that we've been on, essentially, for some time. This one just fills in all the fun dates. So the action for tonight would be to resolve to authorize bidding of the collection system. That's just the process of bidding it. You're not awarding the contracts or anything. You don't know what those are yet, but just authorize bidding. So that's pretty exciting.
Would you like us to do that now?
If you would.
So the chair will entertain a resolution to commence the bidding for the Jefferson Leeds Sewer Project.
I make said motion.
So moved. Seconded by Mr. Antonelli. So moved by Mr. Gordiano. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is carried. Congratulations.
Wonderful. Well, everyone has worked very, very hard on this for a very, very long time. It's a great milestone to have. Together with this, we've been talking for some time about the financing of this project, opportunities for grants, and those kinds of things. We did submit a grant application last year. We went over at length the last time we were here that we were not qualified due to families in poverty, which is a very interesting metric that the program is using. The supervisors attended several meetings where she's been encouraged to look into doing an income survey. Folks may remember income surveys have been done in Jefferson Heights and Leeds in the past. So the sidewalk project was done and a couple of other things. This is essentially the same process. So I reached out to a company, an entity called RCAP Solutions. They're actually a non-for-profit that's funded by USDA, the Department of Agriculture for Small Communities. And they conduct income surveys at no cost for communities in need. And it's kind of interesting. They're very busy people, and as you might imagine, with all the grants that are available, they have a lot on their plates. But the person that we deal with there has a soft spot for you and your community in this project because she's been here many, many, many times. People may remember her. Her name is Kate Palmer. So she has agreed to assist the town if you would like to conduct an income survey. But having said that, you guys are going to have to do all the heavy lifting. She does not have the capacity at this time to dedicate a lot of her personal time to actually going out, knocking on doors, and doing those kinds of things. So what she would, how this would work, if you chose to advance this is at no cost to you, which is pretty nice, But how this would work would be, we have a database and maps, obviously, of everybody in the system, you know, who owns all the properties. We have contact information for everybody. We can generate both a mailing list, because we do this typically the first shot is send out a mailer, try and get as many responses back as we can. The second thing is we generate maps and lists so that people can go knock on doors, which is really the heavy lifting part of this. Given the number of households that we have, our response rate is pretty high. We need something like an 86% response rate for this to be considered statistically significant. So it's pretty high. We can't send this out and get 12 back and say we're done. What would happen is we would, on UCAP, prepare the mailing lists and all that kind of stuff in the maps. You would need to, and Candace at RCAP will prepare both the methodology, get that approved by the agency so that you know you're doing something that they will accept at the end of the day as being valid for this purpose. And she would prepare both the letter, which is a very generic letter that says, listen, you know you're doing an infrastructure project. Wouldn't it be nice to have some grant funds? Please fill out the attached survey and, you know, support this process because it benefits you. You know, it's literally a single sheet of paper. I gave the supervisor some examples. It has maybe a half a dozen slots to fill in. It is anonymous. There is no, you know, you can say Joe and, you know, yada da. They are numbered. The surveys are numbered simply so we can keep track of response rates. And so that we know if you sent your survey and we're not going to come knock on your door. We know you got your survey number one. We know you got your staff. We're not going to bother you. There's a mailing that goes out. All of the mailers are in pre-stamped, self-addressed envelopes to go back, and they go to the RCAP Center in Massachusetts. Nobody here sees them. We don't see them. No one sees the data. No one knows anything about it. It goes to Massachusetts to a data processing center where they don't really care what's going on here other than just the numbers. They crunch all the numbers and send us back stuff and say you're at 40% response or you're at 60% response, and this is the list of people who didn't respond, so that we know we need to keep going out and asking for that response. Once all of those responses come in from the mailing, we're really together with that, a door knocking campaign starts. And, you know, it's literally knocking on the door and saying, hi, we're trying to help reduce your cost. Please take this form to your kitchen table, fill it out, stick it in the envelope, and give it back to me, and we'll get it to the processing center. It's boots on the ground action. Obviously, typically at night, weekends, you're trying to catch people. The other thing that's important to know is that to the extent that we have buildings where there are property owners, but there are apartments, the income information that we want is from the people who live in the apartments. Because at the end of the day, they're the ones who are going to pay some portion of the bill. And that's who these programs are targeted at. So if there's someone who owns an apartment building and lives in some foreign place, they're going to get a survey because they're not going to be on our list because they pay the taxes. But really what's critical is the 12 or whatever people who live in the building. So the data gets all sent to Massachusetts once hopefully and get to the response rate that's required. The RCAP will prepare a report that, again, is in conformance with the requirements of the program, send you that report. It's statistical. I gave the supervisor an example of what they look like. It's literally numbers. The raw number was this. We got back this many. Here's different classifications of people who responded and said, yes, I'm over 65, or no, I'm not. You know, those kinds of things, because all of those metrics are taken into consideration when they look at these grant programs. You get back a report, and then we would use that report to support an application for what's called a water infrastructure grant, which we applied for last year. We would reapply. The key to all of this is that due date is April 15th, right around the corner. Very, very short. Now, Candace assures me, when I talked to her, I thought she was going to say, there's no way we can do this, and she said, you can do it. Just get out there and do it. So the key to this would be deciding very, very quickly, like maybe even today, is this something you want to do? If it is, I will get in touch with Candace. She's down in Washington, D.C. at a conference right now, but I will get in touch with her tomorrow. She'll put together the draft letter, the draft survey, send it back to me and the supervisor so we can just make sure everything is the right name and all that good stuff, so that we can generate the list and get going. probably get a mailing out this week kind of thing. So it's that rapid a thing. You'll need envelope. People stuff envelopes. You'll have, a lot of those. And then postage. And you can figure out how you want to do that. But postage to mail them out and postage to put on the self-addressed returns. So that's the process. Do you have questions?
What's the number? You and I talked. I can't remember what you told me. How many names? 400 sticks in my mind.
It was around 400 and something that we would need to get responses.
Yeah. So 400 is your base and 87% of the 400, I thought.
Yeah, something yeah. like that. Yeah. I had to look exactly. It's right. How many other parcels we have in mm-hmm. the sewer district.
I did get... the community center volunteered. They have an after-school program of high school students, and they volunteered their stuffing capabilities. Or Jared had mentioned that we could ask our senior center mm-hmm. folks to help also. We might even split it,
yeah.
200 for each. Thoughts?
I just, after reviewing every, I think it's a necessity. I think we have to work our hardest to get this done because, in my eyes, economically, we are a needy community, and I think this survey is important in more ways than just for the sewer project. I think it can help us
exactly.
with other future grants.
Exactly.
And I think we're going to just have to roll up our sleeves and put the work in to get this done before the due date. It's just something that needs to be done.
Exactly. And the good side, the application for this particular grant is very, 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 very simple. Very simple. So there's really no effort to be assessed into doing that whatsoever. It's really about the income survey so the archive can process it and get you something.
So the USDA grant comes off the cost of the project?
This would be a grant through what's called the New York State Water Infrastructure
okay.
Program. And so there's two ways that grants go through that program. One is if you were doing, say you were doing, a project in cement at the wastewater treatment plant where you had, it was a $40,000 project, and you had $10,000 in the bank, which you don't have the other $30,000. You could apply for this program and get a $30,000 grant, show that you had $10,000 in the bank, and they literally pay for $30,000 worth of work. That's one thing. What we would be looking at doing is because our project is funded through the SRF program, through the State Revolving Fund program, the grant program is sort of a co-program with that. They're working together. As the supervisor just said, to the extent that we received a grant allocation through that program, we have an $11 million project, we got a $2 or $3 million grant, we just wouldn't borrow that money. We'd borrow $9 million or $8 million or whatever the end number is at the end of the day. So what it really gets at is it gets at reducing the amount of money you have to pay back over time. And as folks may recall, we're looking at a sewer rate of around $900 a customer a year. About $500 of that is that debt service. So it reduced that side of the equation, and that's extremely valuable. And that would be the objective. So it's not really a bag of money, but it certainly helps us a lot because we don't have to pay back as much money over time.
Okay.
I make a motion we move forward with the income survey.
Second?
I'll second.
Mr. Antonelli seconds it. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. We will work together on getting the letter, and I will get our envelope stuffers together.
Absolutely. So what I will do is I will send Candace and you an email either tonight or tomorrow morning. And she is in D.C., but she's waiting. I told her I'd be here tonight and be discussing this, so she's kind of waiting to hear from us. She can get back to her folks in her office and say, all right, get going.
Okay.
Get something together for us. Because I'd like to target, a mailing. If not, I know the end of this week sounds very, very soon, but if not the end of this week, very early next week, get it on the street.
Okay.
The other thing that will be important about this is publicizing it. So we have our reporter from the Daily Mail here. Well, I'm sure dutifully talk about this. It is really, really important. It's really important for people to respond. I know sometimes people get very uncomfortable with things like this. We're asking for people to check a box in a range of incomes.
Mm-hmm.
It is anonymous, and it helps immensely. Right now, folks may remember, the metrics for this grant were literally on the bubble of the income and families in poverty. We had to be 11.69% of greater families in poverty, and we were at 10.9%. We were really, really close. So all of this information is extremely important and can really support the town's efforts to reduce the cost of the project.
And I want to thank you for listening, because I know that, you know, it was a difficult discussion to have with, it was Assemblyman Lopez and several others that said, you can do this, you can do this. And you and I both knew the turnaround time on this was extremely tight, but it has enough of an impact on the end user's ability to absorb this, which we all know the advantage, but we also know that it comes with a cost. So anything that we can do as a board, I don't see how we could do anything else.
And your point about this being useful for other, one of the things that, that folks will see when they receive the survey, it asks for some what you might think of sort of random information. That information is not random. It's there for a specific purpose. This income survey will cover us for what's called the SRF, the State Revolving Fund Program. That's the one we're looking at. It covers for USDA Rural Development Programs. It will cover us for parks, recs. And RECs programs, it will cover us for housing and urban development programs. This is designed to be a one-size-fits-all, get all the data, so that whatever you want to use as far as you go down the road, you have the information at your fingertips. So, that's good. So moving along, our next one is water lines and leaks. So, as everybody knows, sewer system covers certain streets in Leeds and Andersons, including Park Lane, Park Place, Park Avenue. Somebody was very creative.
And Forest.
And Forest. And I have my cute little map here. All these black blobs on the map are houses that right now have private water lines that run to them. Folks are probably aware the Village of Catskill's water system is up outside of the town. The transmission main runs down through Leeds, down through Jefferson Heights, and into the village. Off of that transmission main, in the town of Catskill, there are a number of private water lines that tap water off of that transmission main, and there's a bunch of folks in Leeds and in Jefferson Heights who are on the village's water system. To date, all of that infrastructure is either owned by the village or owned by private entities, like people, who put it in. The village operates and maintains the system. They charge people. The town is not in the water business. You guys don't own anything. You're not in the water business. Unfortunately, when we're looking at doing particularly Park Lane, Park Place, Park Ave, and Forest, when we look at doing the sewer system, we are very, very confident that we are going to disturb, if not entirely disrupt, most of these private lines that run up various locations, some of which are not known. They are going to be disturbed. So this is not an uncommon occurrence. It happens a lot. Not necessarily with private water lines, but often with public water lines. We have a community that had a water system, didn't have a sewer system, and you go to install a sewer system and you run into the water lines. Need go no further than up on the hill, particularly in the village of Hunter. The water lines there when the sewer system was installed were virtually all replaced because there was just no way to avoid them. In this case, these water lines are do not meet modern standards in terms of the type of materials, the construction, the size of lines, those kinds of things. They're private, small, a lot of times just copper service lines running long distances to people's houses. So, the financing program that we're using recognizes that this type of conflict between water lines and sewer installation occurs. So the costs of repairing these water lines is an eligible cost under your financing. And we already built in some funding to do this into the budget of the project. We anticipated it, so we built that in. Just so people are kind of aware, we're talking about a total cost of probably around $250,000 altogether. It is about 3,000 feet of water lines. It's a fair distance. And it totals about 35 services. So just so folks know. So what to do next? The way that we have planned the project to date is that we have put in the bid documents, we have made a note that says there are private water lines here. We anticipate that either contractor are going to disrupt the private water lines, and we've given them a specification to repl- replace those with what we'll consider sort of the minimum standard public service at this point. So this is not some big thing, but it's the minimum to serve out that's really recommended by the regulations. And we've put in a unit price. So we've said, tell us for every linear foot you put in, what's the price per linear foot? We're only going to pay you for the linear feet you actually put in. We've estimated a certain number so they have an idea, is it 3,000 feet or 10,000 feet, but you're only going to get paid on a unit price basis for what you justify that you put in. So that, from that side of it, and that's covered in your project budget. So that's all good. But now we get to the part about when you pay for it through the project, you own it. It's yours. So now you are in the water business, one way or another. We've had a lot of conversations about this. Because you will own those pipes. That's the requirement of the program. They do not give you money that you can give to others to own infrastructure for other people. So that's also probably not the end of the world. The question becomes more, though, one of, I don't think anybody's intention is to change the way that people are served water right now. People get that water from the village does the operation maintenance and all of that kind of stuff. To that end, back in 2014, when we were thinking about all this and we realized that this was happening, and we were negotiating the intermunicipal agreement between the village and the town for receiving the wastewater from the sewer system and treating it, we also negotiated a water agreement that we didn't advance at the time, but we put it in place. We actually have a water agreement in anticipation of this condition, which essentially says that while the town would own this infrastructure, it just owns it, but the village is responsible, just like they always have been, to operate, maintain, charge the customers, all the stuff that they have always done historically. It's just now in writing, and there's something enforceable about it. So that if there was ever a question or an issue, or somebody sells their house and says, you know, who do I go to for water, it's right there, and we all know this is how it happens. Companion with that intermunicipal agreement is the concept of creating water district. Folks, remember we created a sewer district. It's got a geographic boundary. People who are inside are in the sewer district. In that, you guys just adopted the sewer use law, which sort of rules the road. How does it work? With water, it would be very similar. You would create a water district for the geographic areas that are covered. This would be what we call a no-cost district. You're not spending any money on it. You're not involved in it. It's just a mechanism so that people who are in the district know they're in the district and they know they get water service under this intermunicipal agreement with the village, and they know that if they have a problem, they go to the village. The other thing that this does that is a big benefit to the village is when there is a district in place, the village sends a bill to a homeowner, and for whatever reason it does not get paid, it can now be levied on the taxes once it's within the district. And that helps the village to be able to recover costs. Otherwise, the village has, it's sort of like a contractual arrangement. Like if I show up at your house and say, I'm going to paint your house, and you and I have a deal and I paint the house and now you refuse to pay me, and go pursue you in small claims court. Unfortunately, that's the situation that the village is in with all of these water services that are not covered by a special improvement district. So that's kind of the lay of the land. I guess another option is, you all could say, although we don't recommend this, you could say, well, these are all private water services and we're going to disrupt them, but you know, you individuals, you go figure out how you're going to restore your water. At the cost that we're talking about, that's the one realistic. And it doesn't really sort of advance the cause here of trying to create decent public infrastructure in the town. So really, the costs covered in your project, the mechanism to pay for it, covered in your project. It's more about the administration, so what happens next. You're going to own it. Now, how do you, if you do nothing, if you just put them in the ground and you own them, when there's a problem, you're responsible for it. You're going to go have to fix it and do all kinds of stuff. And you, right now, don't have the capacity to do that. That's not something anybody wants to sign up to really.
I'm thinking that.
To really do.
Yeah, I'm listening.
Yeah, so the idea would be that intermunicipal agreement that would go with the district would say, no, it's not this level, gentlemen, it's you go to the village. And that's the way it's always been. This is sort of just formalizing what's always been the
this going to be a problem with the village?
No, you know, this is.
I mean, I know we did the agreement.
It's what we talked to them. There's no negative, there's no downside to them. There's only an upside, which is that they now can re-levy those bills. I know a few years ago they were giving a number of bills because they couldn't reasonably realistically pursue them. And that's, you know, that's a problem when you're trying to generate revenue from the system. So you don't have to necessarily decide what to do about this today, but procedurally, if you decided this is something that you wanted to do, what would you do? So you have an intermunicipal agreement, a draft, distribute to everybody, take a look. It's very, very, very sexy, very uninspired and unexciting. It is just like the sewer one, but it says water, and it says, you know, the town owns things in the town that the town actually owns, the village owns everything else, and the village does all the operation and maintenance, and provides the water, does the billing and everything else, and the town, just the only thing the town does is assist with re-levies if necessary. So that's pretty straightforward. What you would do in terms of the district, just like with the sewer, create a little map plan and report. This one's going to be much simpler because we're not building anything. So we don't have to go through justifying all this stuff. It's a very brief little document. That document would be accepted by the town. This work would be being done. This project would be being done in the town's action. So you would adopt that and you would schedule a public hearing. After the public hearing, you would adopt a resolution to establish the district, which would be subject to the referendum. At the conclusion of that period, you would adopt the final order in the district exists. And unlike with the sewer district, where we had to go through the Office of State Comptroller and there's all that sort of drama, we don't have to do that in this case because we're not spending any money on this. It's the spending the money that triggers the needs to do all those other things, and you're not spending any money on.
They have a problem. The village is going to take care of it, right? Who are they going to build?
The village. This gives the village the mechanism. Say the village goes and repairs something on someone's property. It's giving them the ability to build that person.
To build the person.
Mm-hmm. So you guys are kind of...
Not that.
No, just like today. You don't get involved in it. You don't...
I know that was the big question back in, what was it, 13, 14 when it first came on.
Right.
This is how the billing would work out.
So the intermunicipal agreement is drafted just so it gives, because right now, you guys aren't involved in billing anybody out here for water. It would be the exact same thing. If right today, whatever they do, is just going to be what they're going to continue to do. With the way it was crafted, it was just now it's just going to be all nice and tied up with a bow so that if there was ever a question from one of your residents, it's about who do they go to, who's responsible. Says right, nice and neat. It's not you. It's the village. So the village has made the decision to be in the water business, and it's all water these folks.
So Mary Beth, this was drafted. The draft was drafted in July of 2014. Has the village had an opportunity to review, or do we need to discuss this with the village, or do you need to present to them? Or
they reviewed it. We did it in concert with the sewer. It was reviewed all along by all the parties. Certainly, it's been a while since anybody's looked at it. We all should take a look at it. It's again, it's very, very straightforward.
Okay.
Most of it talks about if someone doesn't pay their bill, how does it get re-levied? There's a lot of them.
So just out of curiosity, all the other water things that happen in this district, quote, sewer district, they can't re-levy? But this unique... little section will be able to be re-levied.
A water district for everybody who served.
Yeah, well, this creates a water district for everyone who
right.
served.
Not just this.
Not just that.
Okay.
That's kind of what's driving it, is because you're now, for the first time, going to own infrastructure.
Understood.
So
okay.
If one of those folks on Park Ave or whatever has a problem, you own the pipe. They're going to call you.
Right.
You're going to go,
Sean.
We're going to send Sean over.
So in this case...
You
yeah, so in this case, it would be, no, you know, if they called you or Sean or you would say, no, you need to call down the village.
Mm-hmm.
The village is the service provider. The village handles all this stuff. If there's a cost associated with fixing your stuff, the village and you will deal with all of that stuff. If the village charges somebody for something and they don't pay it, and it goes wrong, goes on their taxes,
mm-hmm.
you guys just conduct the re-levy. Again, it's a paperwork thing. The money comes and gives it back to you. So
okay.
For you, it's a pass-through. But really, you're going to own that water infrastructure if you don't do something in
mm-hmm.
terms of creating a district,
mm-hmm.
you are responsible for.
Right.
So the idea of this is to kind of keep things as they are in terms of the way the village provides current service, but protect you because you're now going to own water lines and you've never owned water lines before.
Understood.
You reach out to the village and have a conversation with them.
Yeah, that's probably the next thing to do is
okay.
Bob and I spent an awful lot of time in the village the last time we did this, but just to kind of say, okay, we've gotten to this point, you know, we'd like to reopen this conversation about
mm-hmm.
the water district, about the municipal agreement, have Get Vinny and whoever else and have a meeting and talk about it.
Okay.
Well, I think we have to wait until after election because we never know what's going to happen in election time. So.
Right. And again, no giant, we're not building anything up there for a while, so
no
future
mm-hmm.
here, but just want to keep it in the forefront.
What about
the
that street down by the car bar? I can't think of the name of the street.
Ivy Terrace?
Ivy Terrace.
Ivy Terrace.
Ivy Terrace. That water line up there is a home where they put it in. It's a small water line.
Yeah. It's like a four-inch
line.
Yeah,
a problem there, too.
That one, we're not anywhere near it.
Well, because no one knows where they really are.
Yeah, that's a big part of this. Is we've got a lot of just folks have reported our guys have gone around and knocked on a lot of doors. And people said, "Well, I think it's over here, and I think it's." Oh, and I remember when Joe came with the truncheon and we're pretty sure we're going to hit those. Now that one, we pretty much know where it is, and we know where our sewer is, so we're not. But to the extent that we do run into those, we have that unit pricing in the contract to cover it, so we won't be caught short. We'll be able to. The other thing about those is that's not a decision the contractor just gets to make.
Well, the whole thing,
it has to go through.
The whole thing was that the village is going to be able to collect the water bills.
Right.
Because they'll put it on your taxes and the county's going to reimburse them. So that was the whole
plus
thing of that.
Right.
You know.
Right.
So to Bob's point, March 15th is the election. Why don't we?
We'll just wait until April.
And then we'll have a follow-up in our April meeting.
Mm-hmm. Usually with village elections, the thing about those that's really interesting is it's March and then April 1st you have a new whoever.
Right. Exactly. So we'll wait until April to have the conversation. I know I have talked to members of the board that were there at the time. And the one individual I spoke to in addition to Patrick, you know, it looked like a win-win for them.
Yeah.
So
we just go back through it again. The good thing is, when we did the sewer, we kind of laid the groundwork for all the stuff anticipating that we'd
mm-hmm.
get here at some point. So
mm-hmm.
that's good.
Yep.
Let's see. And then you have the other item in there. I only have your only continuing business. So.
Right, which is your like to entertain a resolution that would extend the professional service contract that we have with Delaware Engineering, which I believe I forwarded to everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes us through final design and bidding services and the cost of labor in acquiring the easements, et cetera, and the cost of the bidding of the project. So I believe I sent this out for everyone's review. If you are comfortable with it, I will entertain a motion to approve the professional services agreement for signature. Mr. Antonelli makes the motion. Seconded.
Aye.
Second by Mr. Vosburg. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries. I will sign. Yeah, really. What would we... It's
going to
be lonely without you.
I have to say, I'm very excited that this is moving forward. We've all been watching each other for a long time.
And I got fond of you. I'm coming here every month or twice a month, giving us updates.
There you go.
I can't afford to have somebody do that.
It would be a little bit of a learning curve or something, I can tell you that much.
Signed.
Great, wonderful. Thank
excellent.
You. All right, so if there's anything else, you guys know how to get in touch with me.
We will be speaking tomorrow, but we thank you. It's all stuff that needs to be done. We'll get going on the income survey. And can you talk to the seniors? And I'll talk to the high school students.
It'll be
reach out to the Boy Scouts.
You know, folding and
mm-hmm.
stuffing.
Mm-hmm.
A couple people need community service. So.
Right. So I'm sure we'll find some community service opportunities.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you.
I think we're done. Any comments from our esteemed attendees?
Just a question maybe for Mary Beth is on those repairs that are taking place, are they repairs or replacements or both?
For the water lines?
Yes.
They'll be replacements.
All the way from the water line to the house?
They will be replacements. Yeah, they'll be replacements. Each case is going to be a little different because it's going to depend. Some of them don't have curb stops. We know that. Some of them are direct connections off the main. So there'll be new curb stops installed, and you know the idea is to get it to a proper functioning system. So that's why it's a lot of money, because the intent is not just to say, okay, there was a 1-inch copper service here, we're going to put back a 1-inch copper service. There'll be typical, the normal requirements. But a lot of them are services that run directly off the transmission line as opposed to having a main with services off of it.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going to kind of correct all that stuff. Mm-hmm. So we'll have a big issue is there aren't curb stops. So if you have a problem, you can't develop somebody's house off and go address the problem. It's a direct connection back to the main. That's a problem.
So if there is a disruption of service, how are those homeowners going to be serviced during the time of the disruption?
What they do, we do a lot of these water projects where we replace all this stuff. So what they do is they lay all the main, leave everybody serviced in place, they lay all the main, and then they get ready, and they notify the homeowner on that day and say, listen, for the next 3 hours or 4 hours, you're not going to have water. You know, so there's a notification process that goes on. And that's going to require some juggling, obviously. The contractor has to be very skilled. People, a lot of times, folks aren't there during the day. They're off at work. So a lot of people don't even...
If there's an accidental hit during the construction process, is that just going to be repaired for that period of time to bring service back?
It'll depend on the nature of of what it is. Some of this is hard to answer because we just don't know a lot about how people... We know there are some bridge services, so maybe there's one line and you're on it, and the neighbor's on it, and somebody else is on it, and they're all bridged off the same one, so if you shut one of them off, you're shutting all of them off.
Mm-hmm.
We know that exists only because people tell us that when the water goes out next door, their water goes out, and we don't know what it looks like. We don't know what the pipes are. So a lot of this is going to be kind of new gap in the field evaluation of those situations and trying to find some causes as little disruption as possible.
So you're anticipating, if I remember correctly, $250,000?
That was the estimate. It's based on about 35 services and new curb stops, preparation, whatever you want to call them, new copper services, and minimum 4-inch mains of about 3,000 feet. So that was what the estimate was based on.
Which would make that would be the logical way to do it. But if the town were to opt out and say we would identify that homeowner will fix it. To repair it and replace, would that be any type of a solution at all?
You could, but you end up sort of just continuing a bad situation, we know is already problematic. So that could save you a little bit of money, but in the end, it's kind of one of these things. If you could rewind back in time and save people from our water service properly, then great, but that's not...
Thanks, Mary Beth. I will entertain a motion to adjourn the meeting.
I'll make a motion.
Mr. Antonelli, seconded.
Second.
Mr. McCulloch, all in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Motion carried. Meeting adjourned.